And we're holding them Gimel Amud Beis, the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Arba Achan Nisuin Arba Noshin. You have four brothers who are married to four women. These women are not related to each other or anything. We're just talking that we have four brothers and with four wives, Omesu, and they died. So Imrotza Hagodosh of the Yabamas Kulan. If the eldest brother, we learned before that the eldest brother, the eldest surviving brother, is the one who's supposed to do Yibum. So if he wants to do Yibum with all four of them, Harashus Biyadah, then he can do that. I think I was going to ask, actually, that it can't be that it's only four brothers, because if all of them are dead, there's nobody to do Yibum. We mean, in other words, four out of the brothers. And the Gemara is going to ask, in that case, why Dabka four? So if he wants to be Miyabim, all of them, Harashus Biyadah, then he can do that. Because, as we're going to say in the Gemara, we've talked about this throughout the Masechta, but here we have the Mishnah giving us the basic rules that each household, meaning in other words, each man who's married, there's an independent chiyuv of yibum or chalitza on his wives, independent of what it is with all the other brothers. So therefore, if there were four brothers over here, then there were four women up for yibum, and each one's necessity for yibum or chalitza is not dependent on the other one. So he can do all four if he wants. And for that matter, he could if he wants. The Mishnah is not telling us, but if he wants, he could do yibum with some of them and chalitza with others of them. Continues the Mishnah. Mishahoya nosu v'shtei noshim umes. If one person was married, if one man was married to two wives, umes, and he died, then the osai chalitzasa shall achas v'hen pateret tzarasa. Do the bia, the yibum, or the chalitza with one of them pateres her tzara. Meaning, as we're going to say in the Gemara, I mean, we've talked about this rule throughout the Masechta. Here we have the Mishnah telling that for us, that black on white, that once one of the tzaras has had chalitza or yibum done, then it pateres all the other ones. Now that we're going to learn, actually, in the next perek, we're going to talk about, it's not always so simple as that. Sometimes you have, for example, we touched on this earlier in the Masechta, sometimes you have what's called chalitza psula, or chalitza grua, or whatever, and sometimes you also have problems with the mimer or something, where there requires that more than one of them gets chalitza. There's never more than one of them gets yibum. So sometimes you are going to have, at least on a derabanan level, that some of that more than one of them is going to need chalitza. But here we're talking strictly on a deraisa level, and when there are no complications like that, then you do deal with one of them, then it patters all the other ones, or you do chalitza with one of them, it patters all the others. Continues the Mishnah. Hoisa achas ksheira v'achas psula. If of the two women married to this man, one was kosher to marry a kohen and the other one was already posel, for example, the other one had previously married and divorced. So then, im hoya choletz, so if the surviving brother is going to do chalitza, choletz v'psula, then he should do chalitza with the one who's posel, because chalitza is going to pass all her to a kohen, but fine, this one is already posel to a kohen being a grusha. V'im hoya miyabim, miyabim l'ksheira, if he's going to do yibum, then he can do with the kosher one. Doesn't mean, by the way, that he has to do with the ksheira. It means that Yeshayim explained that it means once we said that he should do chalitza for the psula, and dafka so, because the Gemara is going to say why unnecessarily make a woman who's kosher the kohen apostle by doing chalitza for her. Then for parallelism, the Mishnah mentions that im hoyim yabim yabim l'ksheira, but of course what it means is that he could do yibum with either one he wants, provided of course that he himself is not a kohen. Obviously, if he himself is a kohen, then he can't do yibum with the one who's posel, because she's posel with kohen. In that case, his brother shouldn't have married her in the first place, but that's another matter. The Meiri, by the way, actually says that this would actually be an example of koifin al midas zayim, where if the guy demands and he says, no, I'm doing chalitza and I insist on doing it with the ksheira, then we would actually force him, Beis Din would force him, according to the Meiri, to do chalitza with the ksheira, because come on, I mean, what are you either way, you're not losing anything by doing chalitza with the ksheira. And she stands to, by doing chalitza with the psula rather, and the ksheira stands to gain by you not doing that, because then that way she won't be posel with kohona. So he says that it would be an example of koifin al midas zayim. Not everybody agrees with that. The Tosfos Rid says maybe not necessarily. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Bar Achan Sakadaitach, the first case of our Mishnah, you have four brothers who died, so then who's doing Yibum for their wives? So how could that be? Ela'ema Arbom Mei Achan. What we mean is four of the brothers. So you had at least five or six or whatever it is, brothers, and four of them died. So now the surviving one or ones do Yibum with the other wives. And again, you have, let's say, if there were two surviving brothers, one of them could do Yibum with some of them, and one of them could do Yibum with others because each one is from a different bias. One could do Yibum with all four, or between the two of them, some can do Yibum and so they can do Chalitza with some of them and Yibum with some of them. The Gemara mentions, by the way, in Shabbos, Rabbi Yossi says on himself that there were five times when I had relations, and with that I produced five cedar trees among the Jewish people, meaning that he had five sons who grew up to be great Talmid Chachamim. The Yerushalmi explains that that was actually something like, but something the Yerushalmi mentioned, and Ormasechta mentions, Tosfos brings it over there in Shabbos, that this was the scenario. Rabbi Yossi had five brothers who all died childless, and he was Miyabim, all five of their wives. So he held, now the Yerushalmi goes on to say, that maybe it's not valid for him to keep on remaining married to them and having relations with them, because after all, each of them is his brother's wife, and normally that would be an erva, and it's only mutter l'shem mitzvah. So usually we say, okay, well, once he does the bia, l'shem mitzvah, then he's allowed to continue staying married to them, and he and she can still be married, and they can have relations whenever they want, like any couple. But the Yerushalmi takes the view that at least Rabbi Yossi took the view that not, that he should only do the Be'ilas Mitzvah. So therefore, so that's with each one of them, he did five times, and with each one of them, he did once, for a total of five times, because there were five wives, and the result of that was, because he did it completely the Shem Mitzvah, therefore he had five great, he had five children who were tremendous Talmid Chacham. Okay, so the Mishnah had said, Harishus B'yodei, the Mishnah had said that he could do Yibum to all four wives if he wants. So the question is, Vishavki Lei, are we going to actually allow him to do that? Vahatanya, not really allow him, but in other words, are we going to tell him that completely, or Rishus B'yodei, it's up to you? Is it really so much up to him? Vahatanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says about Yibum, when it says about Chalitza, actually, the Koruloi Zikde Iroi, the Pasuk says the elders of his city should call him. That means hein v'loy shlofan. It means they have to call him themselves. They can't send a shliach. And when it continues with dibru elav, when it says they should speak to him, melamet shmasiim lo etza hagenis lo, means that they give him advice which is suitable to his particular condition. They don't just tell him. They don't just tell him. It's, you know, we learned previously on daf lamet tes, we had the machlokes, the chachamim and Abba Shol, whether yibum was preferable or chalitza is preferable. They don't just tell him, listen, we hold like the chachamim, yibum was preferable, go do yibum, or we hold like Abba Shol, chalitza is preferable. No, they give him advice that fits his particular situation. For example, Shemahoyo hu yelad v'hizkena, suppose that the Yavam is young and the Yavama is old, or hu zokin v'hi yalder, or the other way around, he's old, she's young, or even like, they tell him it's not a good idea to do Yibum. Malach etzel yalder, malach etzel skena. What do you need to marry a woman who's so much younger than you? What do you need to marry a woman who's so much older than you? Kloch etzel shakamoscha, go find a wife closer to your own age. And don't create fights in your house, because when the couple are so far apart in age, it's likely to cause friction between them. So now we're not saying that he's not allowed to do yibum of older to younger. I mean, we've had throughout the Masechta there were cases where you do that, but nevertheless, they still advise him not to do that. So why is our Mishnah just saying miyabim, that if he wants miyabim lekulam, as though it's just completely up to his volition, when in fact we are at least going to advise him against it? So the same thing over here. Why are we assuming that he can do yibum with all four of them? How is he going to support them? And the Gemara says, okay, let's do the extra light. Fine, so we're talking about where he could support them. We're talking about where he's rich enough, where he has the means to support four wives. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Sihochi Afilo Tova. Well, then in that case, why limit it to four? If we're anyway saying that the situation is that he can do yibum with the wives of as many different brothers as he wants, then why is the Mishnah Davka presenting the case where there were four brothers? And the answer is Eitz Tova Kamash Kolam. You're right. The Mishnah does not have to limit itself to four, but it's giving us good advice. Dalad ain't feiloi. It's best if he doesn't do more than four. Now, we had Rabbi Yossi, he said, did five. But again, that's the whole concept that it was Yevamos of his, and he did Yibum with them and only had relations once each. That was the Yerushalmi. The Bavli didn't say any such thing. But of course, we're saying over here, in general, a person should limit himself to four. This way, at least, each one of them gets time alone with her husband for relations once a month. Rashi explains, so now, the Gemara, we're going to learn in Ksubas in a few months from now, Baz Hashem, that there's a Torah tells us, man's not allowed to diminish his wife's oina, and that means there's a certain schedule, there's a certain amount of time that a husband shouldn't go without having relations with his wife, as long as he's in town and capable of doing it, and both of them are interested. So for different kinds of people, different amounts. A person who is just like, you know, living off a trust fund or something, he doesn't work for a living, would be every day. Give certain kinds of workers is every other day or twice a week or once a month or et cetera, et cetera. It's a whole omission over there. So now it says over there, Tamid Chachamim, their owner is every Friday night. Tamid Chachamim are busy learning Torah during the week, so they don't necessarily have time or strength for it during the week. But Friday night, it's part of Oneg Shabbos to do that. Now, so that owner is multiplied or divided, however you look at it, by the number of wives. So for example, if Tamar Chacham has two wives, then it would mean each Friday night he's doing Oina with one of them, and therefore it means that each one is getting him once every other Friday night. So now if he has four wives, it means that each one is getting him only one Friday night out of every month. So therefore, Eitz HaTova is that he shouldn't marry more than four. Because otherwise he's reducing their owner too much. That's why the Mishnah mentions four. The Ritva points out about that. He says, the Mishnah is not talking specifically about Tamid HaChamim. The Mishnah is addressed to everybody. So why are we specifically speaking in terms of the owner of a Tamid HaChamim? The Ritva says rather like this. Listen, this whole concept of having to have a scheduled owner only applies when he marries her completely, when they get married completely voluntarily. In other words, he didn't have to marry this particular woman. He went on shiduchim and ended up picking her. Here, after all, we said before that this is a special case. Isha hiknu loy min hashamayim. In a certain sense, she fell into his lap through Yibum. So he agreed to do it, of course. But nevertheless, it wasn't completely his volition. So therefore, the Ritva says that really not necessarily would he be required. So let's say, for example, that he was a person living off a trust fund and not working, where the oina we said in Ksubas is every night. So we would say by Yibum, not necessarily would that be the case, because after all, it wasn't completely his choice to marry her in the first place. So our Gemara that's saying that once a month is not, the Ritva says, is not basing it on the owner of a Tamid Chacham. It's just saying that even whether he's a Tamid Chacham or not, he's not really required to do Oina as often, but practically speaking, he shouldn't diminish it that much from her, so that he shouldn't make it so that she doesn't even get him as only not even once a month. So that's Eitz HaTova. The Mishnah had said, Mishahoya Nosei V'Chola. We said that we had a case where a man was married to two wives, and we said when Yibum or Chalitza is done, it's done with one of them and it packers the other. So the one asked, why not? Why? V'niyabim l'tavayu. Why don't we do Yibum with both of them? How do we know that one of them is potter with the other one's Yibum? The Gemara says, Amar Rabchi Ba'aba Amar V'echen and Amakra, because the Pasuk says, Asher la'yivnes beis ochiv. The Pasuk says that he does Chalitza because he doesn't want to build up his brother's house in the singular, which means Bayis Echad Hu Bona Ve'in Bona Shnei Batim. He only can build one house, not two. So here, if he were to be marrying two wives from one man, then that would be two Batim, and the Pasuk is implying that he can't do that, and he doesn't need to do that. Okay, so the question is, okay, so why doesn't he So why doesn't he do Yibum with one and still be required to do Chalitza with the other? Why don't we say he has to do that? Habayi Sabach inserts over here another question in the Gemara, which Tosfos also brings such a girsa, but doesn't like it. But Habayi Sabach inserts that the Gemara asks, why don't we say he should do Chalitza for one, and then he still does Yibum to the other? And the answer is because since the Pasuk says, Lo Yivne, as Beis Achiv, so Lo Yivne, in future tense, he will not build, means that once he did Chalitza, he can't build anymore. He can't do Yibum. Anyway, Tosfos doesn't like that. Tosfos doesn't like that question and answer in the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to give a different reason soon why Yibum would be impossible in that case. Okay, so v'niyabim l'chodah v'nachlitz l'chodah, but why don't we say he does Yibum with one and he's still required to do Chalitza with the other one? And the answer is, amakrut, im lo yachlitz. Sorry, I skipped a couple of lines. Sorry. So first we said that he can't do both because Asher l'yivneh is based off of bayis afar ubona, mein bona shnei batim. The nachlot v'tavayu. Okay, so the question is, why doesn't he do chalitza with both of them? Why don't we say that once he does chalitza with one, it does not patter the other, and he has to do chalitza with the other one? How do we know that not? The answer is base chalutz hanoal, because the pasuk mentions after the chalitza is done, it says base chalutz hanoal, the house of the shoe that was taken off, implying again bias in the singular. He only needs to do chalitza with one, not with two. So now the question is, why does he need to do yibum with one and chalitza with the other? And the answer is, because the pasuk says, if he doesn't want to do yibum, then he does chalitza, implying that we're talking about at a time when if he wanted to do yibum, he still could do so. So that gives us the rule, which we've had several times already in Or Masechta, that at least on a Daraisa level, kol ha'ola l'yibum ola l'chalitza, only when a woman is going up to Beis Din to arrange yibum, in other words, where yibum is possible, ola l'chalitza, only then does she go up instead for chalitza if the decision is based on he decided to do chalitza, based on that she doesn't want to do yibum with him, based on, we said before, that Beis Din convinces them, whatever it is. So then she goes up for chalitza. Whenever she doesn't go up for Yibum, she doesn't go up for Chalitza. So in other words, Chalitza is done only when Yibum would have otherwise been possible, at least on a Daraisa level. So once Yibum was done with one, we don't need Chalitza with the other one, because at that point, it would be impossible to do Yibum with the second one, because we already established, because it says Asher la Yivneh is base achiv, that there's only one bias is being built, not two. So once Yibum was done with one, we can't do Yibum with the other. So therefore, based on the rule, kol she'ena ola l'yibum eina ola l'chalitza, means that chalitza is not necessary with the second one. V'oid, and furthermore, the Gemara adds another reason, shelo yomru bias miktsasei banu miktsasei cholutz, because we don't want people to mistakenly think that one household, meaning in other words, one man with his two wives, that we do yibum with one and chalitza with the other one. We don't want people to think that. So what? The yomru, let people think that. What's the problem? So let's go ahead. He'll do yibum with one. He'll do chalitza to the other. And what's the problem? It may not be necessary, but so what? Why are we concerned if people think that chalitza is necessary in such a case? So the one answer is, you're right, if he did Yibum with one and then he did Chalitza with the other one, then you're right, it wouldn't be so bad, because okay, so it's an unnecessary Chalitza, big deal. The problem is, people might think then that you're instead able to do Chalitza with one and then Yibum with the other one, and that would be a problem. Then you're being over on this lav of lo yivne, that once you did chalitza, that you're not allowed to marry the other one. It's not so simple that it's a lav, by the way. There are different rishonim and achronim talk about the possibilities, whether it is in fact a lav, or the tur, I think, says that it's an esse, although the noisa kalim over there say what kind of esse, it must be a printer's error for lois esse. And then there are those who learn that it's maybe only did a bonum. But whatever the case, we don't want that to happen. So therefore, so if So it's true. If Yibum was going to be done first, then it's not a big deal if they afterwards do an unnecessary chalitza. But we don't want the other way around, that someone that they're going to do chalitza and then think, hey, I still have the opportunity to do Yibum, and they're not going to realize that with doing that, they're over on a lav and they shouldn't be doing that. Tosfos, by the way, does not like this question and answer in the Gemara, this va'oid, because after all, once we have the rule from the pasuk kol ha'ol le'yibum ol le'chalitza, then why who needs a va'oid? That kind of thing is to explain a din d'rabbanan, not to explain a din d'oraisa. So Tosfos takes it out. On the other hand, the Ramban and a couple of other rishonim justify it because they say, what the Gemara is asking is, granted, midaraisa, once you did Yibum with one, you don't need to do Chalitza with the other. But why didn't the Chachamim make a rule that you should do Chalitza in that case also, because not everybody is going to know that the first wife had Yibum done? And the answer is that the Chachamim considered that, and they realized that, on the other hand, there's a potential pitfall that people are going to think that after Chalitza, you can still do Yibum, as we're saying here in the Gemara. So therefore, this, according to them, this question and answer does, in fact, belong in the Gemara. Now, so the Gemara continues. The Ema ki ika chodot sky mitzvah yibum. Now, how do we know b'chlal we're saying that the pasuk asher lo yivneh es beis achiv implies that you only build one bias, not two, meaning, in other words, that when there are two wives married to the same man, you do yibum or chalitza with one of them and it patters the other. But now the Gemara is challenging the basis of that. Maybe what the pasuk is implying, maybe what the pasuk is implying is only when there's only one wife, then you have a mitzvah yibum. Maybe the implication is that when there are two or more wives, then you don't have a mitzvah yibum at all. In other words, Tosfos Yishanim explains, the Gemara is saying that maybe instead of daushening, after all, the pasuk only says bias, beis achiv. We're the ones who are daushening you in the Gemara, that it means one bias and not two. But maybe we should daushen it differently. Maybe it's saying not that when there are two, then you do yibum with only one of them and it patters the other. Maybe it's saying, to begin with, yibum only exists when there's one bias and there doesn't even exist when there's two. So the Gemara answers in pain. You can't say that, because if so, it's Soras Erva da Asa Rachman Olamali. Then why would you need a pasuk to tell us, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that the Sora of an Erva is Potter from Yibum, or is also to do Yibum? We have the cases at the beginning of our Masechta, Chamesh Esrei Noshim, where we had, for example, Reuven, let's say, is married to Shimon's daughter and to another woman. And we said that if Reuven dies, then Shimon doesn't do Yibum with his daughter, obviously. And he's potter also from doing Chalitza or Yibum with her Tzara, because she's Tzara's Erva. Now that itself implies that we're talking about two wives married to the same woman. And we would say that normally we would have needed Yibum or Chalitza were it not for the fact that it's Tzara's Erva. So that shows that when there are two, we have to do Yibum or Chalitza to do Yibum with one of them. So if the Gemara is saying that the word base teaches us that when there are two wives, there's no Yibum or Chalitza in the first place, well, then you wouldn't even need that. Hashta beis ba'alma amet lavnei chalitza v'yibum ninu. You would say, if two unrelated wives, you would say that when there's two of them, then there's no chalitza or no yibum. Tzoras erva medbaya. Would it need to be said about a tzoras erva? So the very fact that we have a limud, as we looked at the beginning of the Masechta, that tzoras erva is potter from chalitza and yibum, implies that other tzoras are in fact chayav. So the Gemara answers back, not necessarily. Alavaloi, why not? Actually, I can show you that tavachomer is not really valid. You could argue like this. Maybe if it weren't for that pasuk, if it weren't for that limud about Saras Erva, which we learned at the beginning of the Sechta from the word Litzur. So maybe you would think without that, the Erva stands outside. In other words, the Erva is completely out of the picture. We don't even, when we say over here, so Reuven was married to Shimon's daughter as well as to another man, what we would say is, in terms of Yibum, we would consider it as if Reuven was not married to the daughter at all. Reuven was only married to this unrelated woman, because the daughter obviously is not going to be up for Yibum to her father. So you would think maybe without the pasuk that the erva stands completely outside. She's not even in the picture. V'tisyavim tsarasa, and then we would say, so it's as if Reuven was married only to one woman, and she would do yibum in the normal way. Kamash malon da'asira, and therefore the Mishnah would be telling us, therefore the Limud would be telling us that not, that in fact we do consider both of them were validly married to Reuven, and therefore, since one of them is an erva and the other one is a tsaras erva, then they're both potter. So you could say, in other words, you could say there is a very good reason to have that limud in order that you don't mistakenly think that way, and that you don't mistakenly think that we ignore the erva altogether because she's obviously not up for yibum. So therefore, so we're back to, in that case, so why don't we say that that the word base teaches us that only when there's one wife is there yibum, when there are two or more wives, then there's no yibum or chalitza to begin with. So rather, the Gemara says, you're right, Ela yivimto yivimto yiriba. Rather, what it is because the pasuk says yivimto, and it says yivimto a few times, and those psukim, therefore, that's a ribui. And that means no matter how many yivamas there are, there's still from the same bias, there still is going to be yibum. All we're saying is that once you do yibum with one of them, then it covers all the other ones. Then it patters all the other ones. Tosfos wonders actually what about we learned at the beginning of the Masechet, Tsaras Tsara. Now, if you were going to say that the erva is out of the picture, then what about the other brothers? To the other brothers, she's not an erva. And then if you were going to say that each one needs individual chalitza or yibum, if you were to say, as the Gemara is hypothesizing, that when there's two wives, then you don't do yibum or chalitza at all, then you would never have a case of tsaras tsara, on the face of it, because how would one of the other brothers do yibum with one of the wives? So Tosfos says, okay, let's say, for example, that the erva herself, the daughter of Shimon, let's say, is besides that she's also the Shimon as his daughter, let's say she's an isu eser or an isu loises for all the other brothers. So therefore, she wouldn't be up for yibum, but her tsara would. Tosfos Yeshanim gives another answer. Let's say, for example, that he divorced the daughter. We learned earlier in the Masechta, Machlokas, whether we go according to how it was during the marriage or whether we look at the status when the husband died. If we say that we go according to the original status, then since she was once married, then we would say that since she was once married to Reuven, then we would say she asos her tzara to Shimon, but they would all be mutter to Levi because she's not an erva to Levi at all. So you could still have that even tzara, even if we were to think that when there are two wives, you don't do yibum or chalitza at all, you could still find a way to make tsaras tsara work. And therefore we need the limud from litzur, and therefore we need the word from the limud from litzur to tell us otherwise. And therefore we need the limud from yivimtoi to tell us that no, that the beer or chalitza of one of them passes the other. But also, well, more to the point, to tell us that no matter how many wives there are, you still have to do yibum or chalitza with one of them. Incidentally, by the way, we talked before about having multiple wives. Now we know, of course, we have Cherem D'Rabbeinu Gershom that says that you can't have more than one. The Ritva mentions over here that maybe Rabbeinu Gershom did not make his gzera, did not make his takana when it comes to yibum. Even if a man is already married, if it comes up a case of yibum, he is going to have to do yibum despite Cherem D'Rabbeinu Gershom. There is a good deal of discussion about that among Rishonim, and the halacha is not the halacha is in principle like that, but practically speaking, since also Ashkenazic poskim hold, as we learned before, that mitzvahs chalitza kedemus anyway, and it's very rare to do yibum anyhow, then practically speaking, it doesn't really happen. Okay, the Mishnah had said, we said if one of the women was kosher to marry a Kohen and one was posel, then if he's doing chalitza, he should do with the psula anyway. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, Kan Shana Rebbe, in this connection, Rebbe taught a brisa, which we learned a couple of times previously in our Masechta, Lo Yishbech Odom Mei Bore V'Acherim Tzrichim Lahem, a person should not pour out and spill and then waste the water of his pit when other people need it. meaning even if it's not an issue about tashchis, still there's a matter of other people could have used it, and therefore you shouldn't do it. The same way over here. Others, she would be able to marry a kohen were it not for the chalitza. So don't do chalitza with her unnecessarily when you have a choice of doing it instead with her tzara, who is anyway pasul the kohuna, and then you'll pasul her. So don't do the ksheira where you don't have to. The Mishnah now is, now we're going to, the Mishnah over here is going to begin with a couple of cases involving chalutzos and what marrying them does to the children. But afterwards, that kind of is going to bring us a digression from here to the end of the perek. We're not really going to be dealing with matters of yibum or chalitza from here to the end of the perek. We're going to be dealing with matters of what of the definition of a mamzer, and in the middle of that, we're going to have a long piece of Gemara that's going to talk about the dinim of geirus. So from here till the end of the panel. So the Mishnah says, "Hamachzer gushosay, a man remarries his wife, his divorcee after she had married somebody else, which as we've learned in the earlier in the Masechta, there's a lav in the Torah on that. The Torah clearly says, "Lo yucha bala harishin ashashucha lo shuv lakachta." Once she remarried somebody else, then he's never allowed to remarry her. So if he does that, the hanoisa chalutzosay, or if he marries his chalutza, whereas we said there's a lav to marry her. So here's where we have a discussion whether it in fact is a lav d'oraisa, or whether maybe it is d'rabbanan. The Rambam writes that the Rambam seems to say that it's d'rabbanan, but then the question is, in our Mishnah it seems to imply that it's d'oraisa. So there's some discussion about that. As I said, Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes that it's an esseh, but a couple of the Noisa Kalim over there say that how could it be an esseh? It must be a mistake, and it means a loisa. Anyway, so a man marries his chalutza, which is osur, however it is that it's osur. Or if he marries the relative of his chalutza, where we learned a few days ago in the Gemara that the relative of the chalutza is also drabanan, according to Rashi always, and according to most of the Rishonim, only when this relative herself is married to one of the other brothers. So all those cases, Yotzi, he has to divorce her. Vlad Mamzer, and if they have any children, the children are Mamzerim, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's what Rabbi Akiva says, because as we're going to see in the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva holds that even a child born from Chayve Lavin is also a Mamzer, not just Chayve Krisis or Mrs. Basti. The Chum, ain't a Vlad Mamzer. The Chum say no, because as we're going to learn towards the end of our parak, they hold that you have a much more restricted definition of what creates a Mamzer. Not just any isulav. Now they do agree that if a man marries the relative of his divorced wife, we're there. She's still considered to a certain extent like his wife. So her relatives are still an isur kares. For example, he was married to her as long as she's alive. Her sister is an erva to him, and forever, whether the original ex-wife is alive or dead, her mother or her daughter, etc., are arayas to him. So the Chum agree that if he does that, shavlan mamzer, that children from that would be mamzerim because there's an isur kares. So the Gemara starts off, the Savar Rabbi Akiva, Anoisa Krevis Chalutzosei Avlad Mamzer. So you're telling me Rabbi Akiva holds that if a man marries the relative of his chalutza, the child is a mamzer, even though on the face of it, it's not Doraisa. But Omer Rish Lakish, Kan Shonar Rebbe, didn't we have a couple of blocks ago that Rish Lakish had said, Kan Shonar Rebbe, in connection with the previous Mishnah, where we talk about the relatives of a grusha versus the relatives of a chalutza. So we said over there that Rish Lakish. We said that if you have a case over there of chiletzes v'loimus yabemus. On the other hand, if he divorces his wife and his brother marries her sister, then she's p'tura because that sister is an erva to him. So in that connection, we said that Rish Lakish said that Rebbe taught a b'raisa, achos grusha medivrei Torah, to not marry your divorcee's sister as long as the grusha herself is alive is medaraisa, achos chalutza medivrei sefer, but to not marry the sister of a chalutza is only the rabbanon. So if it's only Dirabanan, how is Rabbi Akiva saying that that creates a mamzer? So you're right, the Gemara says, Tony Krovas Grushasi. You're right, you have to fix up the Mishnah and say it doesn't mean the relative of his Chalutza, the Mishnah should have said the relative of his Grusha. So the Gemara says, and in fact, the Gemara says, Hachi Nami Mistabra. In fact, it's logical to learn that way, Dikatani Sefer, because after all, the Mishnah continues. They agree when it comes to marrying the relative of his Grusha, Shavlad Mamzer, that the child is Mamzer. So why would they mention that case? If you're saying that Rabbi Akiva addressed that case and he said that the relative of a grusha is the relative of a grusha is also daraisa, and therefore it's an isur kares, and therefore the child is a mamzer. So then hainu de katani umodim, then that would explain why the chachamim have to say that they agree. We disagree with you about isur lav, but we agree with you on isur kares that creates a mamzer. But if you say Rabbi Akiva wasn't even addressing the case of the relative of his grusha, but rather the relative of his chalutza, then what would we say? They're admitting. What are they agreeing to? What are they agreeing to if that case wasn't even being discussed? So Gemara says, well, why not? The Duma Hakamash Malon the Yesh Mamzer Mechayvet Krisus. Maybe that's precisely it. Maybe the Mishnah wants us to know that even according to the Chachamim, when there's chayvei krisus involved, then it creates a mamzer. So the Gemara says we don't need that. Hakatani, love, come on. We're going to learn it later on in our parak. Ezo mamzer. What is the definition of a mamzer? Kol sher baser shuvel or yavei divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says any relative where there's an isur lav in the Torah to have any relative where there's an isur lav to have relations. So even if there's no kares, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Reb Shimon Atimni Omer Kol Shachayavin Al Koritz B'Dei Shemayim. Reb Shimon Atimni says no, not when it's only a lav, only when it's an isu koris. V'halacha kidvarav, and the Mishnah says the halacha is like him. Now, when we say in the Mishnah halacha is like somebody, it's not necessarily the last word on the subject. So we'll discuss that when we get to Daf Mem Tes. Bez Hashem, we'll talk about what in fact the halacha is in this context. After we'll be at that in a few days after Pesach. Bez Hashem. But anyway, so we already have a Mishnah where the Chachamim tell us, or at least Shimon HaTimni tells us that when there's a lav that includes kores, then it creates a mamzer. So in our Mishnah, there would be no reason to mention the umoidim because of that. It must be because Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah was in fact talking about the relative of a grusha, not as the Mishnah is in front of us, the relative of a chalutza. Says, why? Maybe the Mishnah is telling us that maybe the Mishnah is giving us a stam Mishnah over here to tell us that the halacha is like it. Because again, the fact that it says v'halacha kedvarav in that Mishnah doesn't mean that that is in fact the halacha. It could just be the Tana of the Mishnah learned it that way. So maybe our Mishnah is telling us that in order to have a stam Mishnah. Which Tosfos asks, that in that case, wouldn't it be a stamba hakach machlokas? And we learned yesterday or the day before that stamba hakach machlokas, we say ein halacha kastam. So okay, Tosfos says fine, it wouldn't be considered a stam mishnah, but at least it would be considered like rabbim, where we would say the rabbim outweigh the yochid Rabbi Akiva. So the point is, so maybe the mishnah is giving us a stam mishnah for that purpose. So the Gemara answers, you don't need that. In pain, listen to Shor Chayvei Krisus. Then in that case, the Mishnah would mention all the Chayvei Krisus. It wouldn't focus specifically on one of them. Krovas Grushosei Lomali, why would it mention specifically the relative of his Grusha if Rabbi Akiva had not addressed that yet? Ela Shmamino, Ayriba. So it shows that Rabbi Akiva was addressing that case, showing, in other words, that the Girsa we have in our Mishnah is incorrect. It's not Krovas Chalutzosei, but rather Krovas Grushosei. Because Krovas Chalutzosei would be only Dirabanan, and even Rabbi Akiva is not going to hold that makes a mamzer. So the Gemara still asks, but Duma La'olam Lo Ayriba, still, maybe Rabbi Akiva never addressed that particular case, and the reason why it mentions Krovas Grushosei specifically at the end of the Mishnah, but Ayri Detonam Machzer Grushosei, since the Mishnah talked about the case where he remarries his ex-wife after she remarried, the noise chalutzosei, or where he married his chalutza, or krovas chalutzosei, and the relative of his chalutza, all three of those are ones where Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim argue. Rabbi Akiva says it makes a mamzer, the Chachamim say it doesn't. Maybe because of that tonanami krovas grushosei, then maybe for that reason it mentions the relative of his grusha, because it's the next most similar case. Doesn't mean that Rabbi Akiva specifically addressed that case. So Gemara says you're right. Elo kloves chalutzase the Rabbi Akiva having mamzer. As a matter of fact, yes, according to Rabbi Akiva, marrying the relative of his chalutza would in fact produce a mamzer. In other words, it's also daraisa. All this time we were saying that Rish Lakish had quoted Rebbe to say achos chalutzase is only medivir sofrin. No, Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that. He says it's daraisa. Why indeed does Rabbi Akiva say that? The pasuk says the house of the shoe that was taken off, implying hakosif kroy besoy. It means that the pasuk is calling the chalutza his bias, his house, implying, in other words, that the rules as far as her relatives are the same as they would be with the relatives of his regular ex-wife. So the same way as daraisa, he's not allowed to marry the mother or the daughter or the sister or what have you of his ex-wife, the same way Rabbi Akiva learns from the words base chalutza noah that the same thing applies to the chalutza that he's not allowed midaraisa to marry her mother or daughter or sister either. So therefore, according to him, it's the usual rule, there's an isur lav involved, therefore there's karis, and therefore there's a mamzer. So therefore, in fact, we can leave the girsa in the Mishnah as it is. It is in fact achos chalutzasei, not like we were saying that we have to change it to achos gurushasei. The Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Shimon v'Rebbe, Hakol Moedim M'machzer Grushase. Now, everybody does agree, even Rabbi Akiva, that when he married even the Chachamim who say that the child is kosher because they say that it's only from Chai v'Krisus that it would be a mamzer. So they do agree. Shavlad Pogum L'Kohuna, that the child of a M'machzer Grushase is Pogum. Is blemished as far as koyanim, meaning that if it's a daughter, then she's also to marry a koyan as if she was a halal. So the Gemara says man hakol moedim. When Rabbi Yosef says everybody agrees, who does he mean? Everyone? He means Shimon Atimni. He means Shimon Atimni that we just quoted before from the Mishnah at the end of our parak. The Afa Gavda Omer Shimon Atimni in Mamzer Chai VeLavin. It's true that he says that Chai VeLavin can't produce a mamzer, only chayve krisis. He would say nehid mamzer lehavi. It's true that he's not a mamzer pogum miyahavi. Nevertheless, he's still pogum. And if it's a girl, then she can't marry a koyin. And how do we know that? The Gemara continues. Mikal v'choymer me'almona. We can figure that out based on a kavachomer from an almona, where we know a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almona, and if he does, then the children from her are halalim. So let's make a kavachomer. Uma almona the kohen gadol she'ini sura shavu b'chol. Madoch, if a kohen gadol marries an almona, where that's not an issue that applies to everybody, it applies only to the kohen gadol, and nevertheless bna pogum. Nevertheless, the children of that marriage would be pogum, would be halalim, would be also to, a daughter would be also to marry a kohen. So zu, in this case of machzor grushase, she isura shava bakol, where it's an issue that applies in common to everybody, because nobody is allowed to do that once they divorce their wife, she remarries somebody else, and then her second husband dies or divorces her, and she remarries the first husband. So that's an issue that applies to everybody. Eina din shabna pogum. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer that it makes the child pogum? So therefore, that yes, it should be also the kahuna. So that's why Rabbi Yosef is saying that even Shimon HaTimni would agree. Fine, the child's not a mamzer, but nevertheless, she is pogum. She is considered a chalala. Most of the Mephoshim learn that it means that she's an actual chalala, although there is an explanation. The Vilna Gaon wants to explain the Rambam that it means she's not an actual chalala, but it does mean that she's also to marry a koyan. The nafkamina would be, for example, that if, let's say, they are over and marry, are the children halalim, according to most of the Mephoshim, the child. So let's say, so you have this guy was machzor grushase, they had a daughter. We're saying that daughter is also to marry a kohen. If we say that daughter is a halala, then if she is over and marries a kohen, then the children are halalim. On the other hand, if she's not actually halala, as the Vilna Gaon wants to learn the Rambam, then it would mean that she's not actual. Then it would mean the children of that. Then it would mean the children are not actually halalim. They could still be kosher kohen. So the Gemara says ikal mikach. You have a kavachomer over here from Amon of a kohen gadol, but we can slug up that kavachomer. Mala Amona shekain he atzvam is halalas. After all, the Amona herself becomes a halala. Once the Kohen Gadol marries her and has relations with her, then she becomes also to ever marry any Kohen. Because as soon as he did bia with her, he made her a chalala. So Rashi points out another point as well. If this almana was a bas koyin, where until now she would have been able to eat truma from her father's household, as we learned briefly before in the Masechta, we're going to talk about it in great detail later on in the sixth perek of our Masechta. We're going to have a long sugya, or we're going to have actually most of a perek on this topic, about when a bas koyin is and isn't allowed to eat truma. So let's say she had been a bas koyin. She's a bas koyin. She had been married to Yisrael, which passed her from eating truma. Then her husband died without children, or they had children and they died afterwards. So then she's able to go back to eating truma from her father's household. On the other hand, if now this almana goes and marries a Kohen Gadol, which is also to do, then she becomes a chalala, and then she's not even able to ever eat that truma again. So in that case, it's true that the Isser of marrying her is a lighter Isser because it applies only to the Kohen Gadol. On the other hand, it has bigger consequences because it makes her a chalala. So how do you compare that to the case of Machsu Grushasai, where she herself does not become a chalala, which in fact Tosfos says, so Taka, why not? Maybe we should say the Kavachomer would say that she does. And the answer is because a chalala is only from Isurei Kohuna, only when you have a woman where the specific Isur is something that applies to a Koyin. Over here, the issue of Machsu Grushasai, we just said, applies to everybody, so it doesn't make her a chalala per se. So the Gemara says, and furthermore, there's another reason to say that the children shouldn't be pogged. He ta'eva ksiv. After all, the Pasuk says about this case of Machsu Grushasai, it says ki ta'eva he, and the word he, we've learned before in the Masechta, is a mute, the ein boneho ta'evin. Only she is a te'eva. It's a te'eva to marry her, but the children are not te'evim. The children are the children are completely kosher. So first of all, the kavachomer falls apart, and second of all, we have a limud from a pasuk to not do that. And va'oid, and furthermore, here's another question on our verse. Tanya, we learn in a b'raisa. Hamachsu Grushasai, a man who remarries his wife, his ex, after she had married somebody else. Va'anoyse Chalutzasai, the beginning of this b'raisa is the same as our Mishnah, and then as usual, it expands on it. And it continues, va'anoyse Chalutzasai, if he marries his Chalutza, va'anoyse Kroivas Chalutzasai, or if he marries the relative of his Chalutza, Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Ein Loi Ba Kiddushin. Rabbi Akiva says, Kiddushin are not toifus in any of those cases. The Einat Tzricha Hemenu Get. She doesn't even need a get from him because the Kiddushin weren't toifus in the first place. This is, we said on Omer Aleph that Rabbi Akiva holds that a Chalutza is also Daraisa. And we said that even Kroibas Chalutzasa, we said in the end, he says is also Daraisa. Not like we said before that those are only Dirabanan. Chalutzasa, we said, might be a lav, but fine. We said, fine. Rabbi Akiva says that Kiddushin are not toifus and there was a mamzer from Chayve Lavin. And Kroibas Chalutzasa, we ended up saying that he brought a posik base chalutza noal to say that in fact the relatives are also tamed daraisa. So therefore kiddushin aren't tofus and she doesn't need a get. And the braisa continues, v'hi psula, she herself is possible to ever marry a koyin on the grounds of zoina. Namely, we're going to learn in more detail later on in the Masechta that the definition of zoina, who's also to marry a koyin, is when she had relations that are also. So in this case, she had relations that are also, that makes her a zoina. A chalala, we just said, is only something that has to do with Isurei Kohuna, but a zoina can be more general. So therefore, so he says that she's considered a zoina, so she's possible to marry a kohen. Uvlada possible. Mind you, actually, Tosfos Yeshanim asks, if she's anyway a grusha, she's anyway also to marry a kohen. So Tosfos Yeshanim says, we're talking about the relative of the chalutza. That she wasn't divorced yet necessarily, but Rabbi Akiva would say that he had relations with Krovas Chalutzasai, then that makes her a zoina. The Oruch HaNer says differently. It means that there's two Isurim on her now. It means that if a Kohen were to marry her and have relations with her, it means he'd be chayev double malchus, one because she's a grusha and another one because she's also a zoina. Tosfos discusses other possibilities that it may also mean that she's possible to eat truma, as we said, that even if now she's childless and husbandless, nevertheless she's still also to eat truma, having become a zoina. And Tosfos gets into a long discussion about the ins and outs of that, what exactly possibles her for that. Anyway. So that, and the Braise continues, Uvlod apostle, Rabbi Akiva continues, the child is, the child is apostle, the child would be a mamzer, the kofinos of a hotzi. And in all these cases, machzor gerushase, noseh chalutzase, and noseh kovas chalutzase, we will force him to divorce her because he's over on an issur. The Chum say, yesh leid v'kiddushin, kiddushin are tofus, because all of these things are only an issur lav, not an issur paris, or tzricha hemenu get, she will need a get, because the kiddushin were tofus, the he kshera, she herself remains kosher, to marry a Kohen, uvlada kosher, the child is kosher, he's not a mamzer, because again, it's only chai v'lavin, and there's no mamzer from chai v'lavin, according to the Chachamim. So that's the braisa. So now, let's ask, Rabbi Yosef had said that the child of such a thing of Maxavul Shase is pogum. Well, Laman. Well then who according to whom, when we say that the Chachamim are saying the child is kosher for who? Lav l'kohuna, don't we mean kosher to marry a Kohen? Which would mean not like Rabbi Yosef that says that the child is that even the Chachamim agree that the child is possible to marry a Kohen. The Moses says, look, recall. No, all the Chachamim mean is the child is kosher in the sense they're not a mamzer, they're able to marry a regular, a born Jewish man or woman, but nothing to do with kohuna. The Moses says, ihachi. Well then, if so, then when we said yik shera, what about, let's say we said she's kosher and the child is kosher. Well, who is she, Laman? Well, who is she kosher for? Ilema l'kohol, would you say that it means that the Braisa is telling us that she's still muta lover l'kohol? Pshita, obviously, mishum dezanya ifsala l'kohol. What do you think? Because she herself became a zona, she should be possible to marry anybody else from the kohol? She's only also to marry a kohen, not anybody else. Ela lav l'kohuna. Obviously, we must mean that the Chachamim are saying she's kosher even to marry a Kohen. They would say that this is not considered a Zona, because a Zona would only be when Kedushin are Topis, and over here, Kedushin are Topis. Since we're saying that when we say she's kosher, obviously has to mean to marry a Kohen, because it can't mean to marry into the Kohol, because there's no chidush in that, then it must mean that when we say the child is kosher, must mean the same thing. It means kosher lover the Kohol. So the Gemara says, what kind of a proof is that? Midi iria, what kind of a proof is that? Each one has its own rules. When we say yik shera, obviously has to mean the kohona, because it can't mean the kohol because there's no kiddush in it. When it's talking about the child, it can mean kshera le kohol, but not that they're not a mamzer, but not the kohona, like Rabbi Yosef says that if it's a girl, she's still possible the kohona. And in fact, the Gemara says, Hochinam and Mistabra. In fact, it's logical that the Braisa is talking about two different kinds of kashrus for the mother and for the daughter, respectively. Dichotoni Reisha, because the Reisha, we said, Rabbi Akiva said, he solo of Lord Apostle. Let's go back and look at Rabbi Akiva's words, where he said, the woman herself, the Grusha herself, is possible for a Kohen, and her Vlad is possible. So let's go through the same thing. Heap solo Laman, when we say she's possible for who? Ilema la Kohol, do you mean she's possible to marry into the Kohol, according to Rabbi Akiva? Of course not. Mishum Dizanya if solo le la Kohol. Same logic, but just because she became a Zona doesn't make her also love of a call, only a mamzer is also to do that. Ella lava kohuna. Obviously, when we say that she's apostle, according to Rabbi Akiva, means for kohuna. And when Rabbi Akiva continues and says the child is apostle for what? Ilema la kohuna. Do you mean only apostle for kohuna hola kohol kosher, implying that she would be kosher, the daughter, to marry into the kohol? Why? Hamar Rabbi Akiva avlad mamzer. We say clearly, Rabbi Akiva says the child is a mamzer. They can't marry into the kohol. They can only marry another mamzer or a ger or whatever. Ela pshita l'kohol. So obviously, when we say vlad apostle, it must mean apostle l'kohol. So therefore, so in Rabbi Akiva's words, we see that clearly the two kinds of apostle. One apostle for the mother, the grusha herself, that she is now possible to marry a Kohen, but not, as the Aruch HaNer said, there would be an extra lab on it, or as the Tosfos Yeshayahu said, fine, we're not talking about Maxav Roshosei, we're talking about one of the other cases. Whatever the case, she would in fact be also to marry a Kohen, but she'd still be mutter, lover b'kohol, because of course, having become a Zona doesn't answer her to the rest of the kohol, whereas the child, necessarily, when we say Vlad Apostle, according to Rakiva, means not only apostle for for not only possible for Kahuna, but even possible for Kahal, because Rabbi Akiva says that she's a mamzer. Well, umi de reisha haki de isa v'haki de isa. Well, since in Rabbi Akiva's statement, the word possible for the mother has a different meaning than it does for the daughter. Well, then sefer nami haki de isa v'haki de isa. Then in the sefer, in the words of the chachamim, we can say the same thing. And therefore, so that would mean that the child is in fact possible of kahuna, even according to the chachamim, and that would be what Rabbi Yosef says. What about we said Uri on the Omud? We said we have a question on Rabbi Yosef. How can he say that if the pasuk says he te'eva, implying that the children are not te'eva? All we mean is nami also he te'eva then sarasa te'eva. All we mean is that she herself is te'eva, but the tsara is not. Meaning, in other words, a man had two wives and he divorced one of them, and she went and remarried somebody else. Or even let's say he divorced both of them and one of them remarried somebody else. So now for him to remarry her would be a te'eva, but we don't say that applies to her tsara. We discussed that in the first paragraph, and we said based on that, that that's what it means. He te'eva is, it means only that tsara is not te'eva. Ava bonea te'evin, but we can say the children are considered te'evin in the sense that they're possible kohona, like Rabbi Yosef said. So that takes care of two of the three challenges we brought on Rabbi Yosef. We brought a challenge, number one, that is kavachomer doesn't work. We said because of hitayeva, and we said because of the braisa of Rabbi Akiva. So the braisa with Rabbi Akiva and the chachamim, we explained, we're talking about two different kinds of psul. The hitayeva, we said, is telling us a different game about the tzara, but we're still left with but ela almana kasha, but we still have a kasha from the about where Rabbi Yosef wanted to bring a kavachomer from an almana, and we shlugged that up because we said that almana herself becomes a halala and he or not. So Mala Amana Shekane, he acts on the Schabalas, which does not apply to Machzor Gerushase. So we have to fix up what Rabbi Yosef said. Elei Itmar Hachi Itmar. If it was said, then this is what was said. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Shimon Rabbi, Hakol Moedim Bevoa Chayvei Krisus Shavlad Pogum. Everybody agrees that a man has relations with a woman where there would be an Isu Kores, that the child is Pogum. And now, Man Hakol Moedim Rabbi Yeshua. Who is the Hakol Moedim? Because we said Shimon HaTimni says not only Pogum, says the Mamzer. The Hakol Moedim would be Rabbi Yeshua. The Afak of the Omer Rabbi Yeshua in Mamzer, Machayve Krisus. Rabbi Yeshua says later on in our parak, when we have the Mishnah that gives us the various opinions about what makes a Mamzer, Rabbi Yeshua says not even Chayve Krisus, only Chayve Mrs. Bastin, according to Rabbi Yeshua, make a Mamzer. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, let's say most of the Arayas would not create a Mamzer. Only, let's say, an Ashes Ish or a couple of the other ones where there's an Isser, where there's Mrs. Bastin involved. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yeshua would agree. The Afakav, the Amr Rabbi Yeshua, in Mamzer, the Chayve Krisus, Nehid Mamzer, Lehabi. Even Rabbi Yeshua would agree the child is not a Mamzer, Pogum Miyahabi. Nevertheless, it would still be Pogum, and there we use Mekavachoyma Me'almona. There we have the Kavachoyma from an Almona to a Kohen Gadol works. Uma Almona, the Kohen Gadol, She'eni Sura Shavabako, Madoch, an Almona marrying a Kohen Gadol, which again, as we said, is not an Issu that's common to everybody. It's an Issu only on the Kohen Gadol, B'na Pogum, and yet the child is Pogum, a daughter from such a marriage would be also to marry a Kohen, because she's a Halala, or we said maybe not technically a Halala, but whatever. The point is she's also to marry a Kohen. Zushi Isura Shavabakol. So then the Isur. So now we're talking about over here the Isur Kores, the Chiyuv Kores, Zushi Isura Shavabakol. The Isurim that are Chayuv Kores are the same to everybody. Nobody's allowed to marry an Eishes Ish. Nobody's allowed to marry their daughter-in-law and so forth. The various other ones where there's a Mrs. Bastin. So Eina Din should be no pogrom. Wouldn't it be a Kavachayim that the daughter would be pogrom? But the Gemara says, you're going to try to slog up that kavachomer like we did before because the almana marrying a kohen gadol herself becomes a chalala. Well, the answer is, well, no problem. The fact that here he had relations with the Schaive Krisus makes her a zona, which is also asur to a kohen, and which also asurs her as a bas kohen to eat truma. So therefore, yes, it does have the same effect as Amon of the Kohen Gadol, and therefore the Kal V'Chomer stands. So it doesn't stand according to the Chachamim, because we said according to the Chachamim, Machse Grushose in these other cases, which are Isuri Lavin, doesn't necessarily make a Rezona. However, here, when we're talking about an Isur Kores, then it definitely makes a Rezona, and therefore, so that has exactly the same effect as making the Amona a Chalola. So therefore, the Kal V'Chomer does stand, and therefore that's what Rabbi Yosef is saying. So in other words, we have like this. Rabbi Akiva would say that even Chayve Lavin produce a mantle. The Chachamim would say, Shimon HaTimni and the other Chachamim would say that only Chayve Christus, not Chayve Lavin, but only Chayve Christus and Nisus Beistin. They would say, obviously, that the child of a Machzor Grushosei would be Pogrom LeKohuna. But we said that's not what Rabbi Yosef means when he says Akol Moedim, because the fact is, according to them, we don't really have a solid. Maybe according to them that doesn't apply, because according to them we don't really have a way of learning that the Kal V'Chomer that Rabbi Yosef tried to use doesn't work according to them. But now we're saying there's a third opinion, Rabbi Yeshua, who says that only Nisus Beis Din produce a mamzer. So now according to him, only Mrs. Basin produce mamzer, but nevertheless, anything less than that, Chayve Krisus produces a zayna, and therefore the Kal V'Chomer tells us that the daughter of such a union is posel l'kohanim. So that's what Rabbi Yosef meant. Okay, so then we're going to continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, discussing the question: what about all this? We're talking about the various isurim that have relations with a woman, and what happens to that? What happens as far as a goy or an eved? That's going to be the discussion in the Gemara tomorrow, Best Hashem.
According to Rabbi Yeshua, she would be pasul lekuna, but she would not be manzeres.
Exactly. The daughter of such a thing, according to Rabbi Yeshua, from Chayvet Krisis would not be a manzeres, but she is pasul lekuna. Exactly.
And the halacha is like the chachamim.
The halacha is like the chachamim that ain't that mamzer is from private Christus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone.